We at the First Pentecostal Church of God want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We hope and pray that it encourages you and strengthens you for His service. May God bless you as you listen.
This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for a great door, somebody shout, great door. Come on, say it again, great door. You sound so good, say it one more time. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. That's so interesting. And then just flip over a couple pages, 2 Corinthians 2:12. This is what he says, 2 Corinthians 2:12. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. And I love verse 14. This is a familiar verse for a lot of people. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And finally tonight, Revelation, the final book of the Bible, Revelation 3 and verse 8. We're just reading it all at once tonight. Revelation 3 and verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. And this is what he says. Revelation 3, 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I want you to remain standing as we pray over the preaching of the word tonight. And this is our thought for tonight, a simple thought, open doors that cannot be closed. Open doors that cannot be closed. Pray with me all over the room tonight. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we want to say thank you tonight for your awesome presence and anointing that is so rich and so real in this house. Lord, we had an incredible service here this morning, and we thank you that you want to just take us higher and deeper tonight. Lord, we thank you on this first night of camp meeting that the best is yet to come this week. Lord, I thank you that there's already fire in the house tonight, but Lord, on this first night, we want to praise you in advance for souls that are going to be saved, for bondage that are going to be broken, for healings and miracles that are going to take place. Lord, for restoration that's going to come into the lives of your people. Lord, thank you that this is not an ordinary gathering. This is not an ordinary camp meeting, because your Holy Ghost and fire is on the move. And so we pray tonight, have your way in this place. Not only tonight, but in every morning service and every night service. My God, show up in this house and manifest your glory. Speak to our hearts tonight, oh God, like only you can do. And when we go forth from this house, let us leave rejoicing, Lord, that we have been changed and transformed forever. God, we don't want to leave the same tonight. We want to leave soaked. We want to leave saturated. We want to leave satisfied. We want to leave dripping wet tonight with your glory and power. And we say thank you, Lord, that you're opening up doors tonight, that you're making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, that you're pouring out supernatural blessings upon your people. And Lord, we'll praise you on credit tonight because your credit is good with us. Thank you in advance for all that's going to be said and done, because you and you alone are worthy, in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen. You can be seated once again in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. Takes a lot of water to preach the gospel, let me tell you. You know, at the beginning of this year, I really just want to share my heart with you for a minute as we jump into this message tonight. At the beginning of this year, I was seeking the Lord. And I said, Lord, I want you to give me some verses, one or several verses, that really will set the course for the entirety of this year. And you know, all of God's word is good. Say amen, somebody. It's all good, praise the Lord. It's all good. But you know, sometimes it amazes me how, even though, and that's what I love about the word of God, it's that it is still speaking. You know, his word has been around for thousands of years, but the Bible doesn't say, thus said the Lord. It says, thus saith the Lord. Hello, somebody. That means he's still saying it. He's still speaking it. And so it amazes me how things that were written thousands of years ago can still apply in such an awesome, real way to where we are today. And I know that you know as well as I do, we've read verses literally hundreds, if not thousands of times. And then we'll be reading it again. And all of a sudden, it's like it just jumps off the pages and slaps you right across the face, because God illuminates something or gives you a revelation that you had not yet seen. And I love it when that happens. That so stirs me. And at the beginning of this year, that's really what happened for me with Revelation 3:8 in particular. I was praying and I was seeking the Lord about this year. And I said, God, I want you to give me a word that I can stand on. A word that is a right now fresh word for this year. Lord, I want to know what it is that you desire to do this year. Lord, not just in my life and through my life, but Lord, what do you want to do throughout your body, throughout this nation and around the world? What is it that your Holy Spirit is speaking right now? And when God brought me to Revelation 3:8, and when I read Revelation 3:8, it was one of those face-slapping moments. Help me, somebody. I knew. This was a word straight from the heart of God for right now. Jesus said, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of dreams and visions, praise the Lord. I believe God tonight that he's supernatural, and because he's supernatural, he can do anything. How many really believe that tonight? The Bible says that if we can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And so I feel like if I'm going to believe, I want to go ahead and believe big. Amen. If I'm going to believe God, I want to go ahead and believe him for the impossible. Because if what I desire and what you desire tonight we can accomplish on our own, then it really doesn't require God's help. If you can get everything that you want tonight, all your dreams, all your desires, all the visions that are in your heart tonight, then it doesn't require God's help. But if you've got dreams tonight that are bigger than you are, if you've got goals tonight that are bigger than you are, if you want God to use you to do things that you know you can't do in your own strength and ability, it's going to require his supernatural intervention. I said it's going to require his supernatural favor being released and imparted into your life. And so at the beginning of this year, this really stirred my spirit because I said, Lord, this is what I need. Lord, this is what your people need. We need you to open up a door and to make a way where there hasn't been a way. Because I don't know about you, but there are many times in my life that I'll think, man, I've really heard God. And so I'll try to jump out there and make something happen. I know you're holy and you know it tonight. You're not going to say amen to that, you holy thing. You just always hear God right the first time, praise the Lord. Brother Clendenin always used to tell me, he'd say, son, sometimes I got myself in such a small, tight space because I miss God. He said, I couldn't even turn around and walk out of there. I just had to back out real slow like. You know what I'm saying? I thought, yeah, I can relate to that, praise the Lord. But I mean it tonight. I know that many times in our lives when we desire something and we feel like we're going to go after something, whether it's, you know, something material that we're believing for, whether it's a ministry that we feel God has entrusted to us, many times when we try to make things happen in ourselves, it's like the door is shut. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, or how much you pray, or how much you work, that thing's closed off and it's not going to open up. But it amazes me how whenever God gets ready to move and God gets ready to work, stuff that was once difficult and stuff that was once, you know, it's like, man, it was hard. I tried, the door wouldn't open up. Whenever God steps in and gets involved, it seems like stuff starts happening overnight. You know what I'm talking about tonight? It's like I think about Joseph in the Bible. Here he is in a dungeon one night, and the next day he's the ruler over all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. What are you saying? I'm saying that's God opening a door of supernatural favor. And that's what you and I need tonight. Amen. We need God to get involved in our lives. You know, the problem for a lot of people, though, is this. We are so, you know, you've heard the saying before, you know, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. How many of y'all ever heard that before? I'm here to tell you, in the year we're living in right now, that is not a true statement for the majority of people going to church in America. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me tonight. I'm telling you, most people are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. We already took all the offerings we're going to take tonight. I'm just going to tell the truth, all right? Praise the Lord. We got your money. You can bet there's no refunds here tonight. Praise God. I'm just playing, man. No, seriously, I want you to think about this with me. Most people are so consumed with the here and now that they're not living with eternal perspective. We're so consumed with the here and now and building our own little kingdom. And I'll be honest, man, I believe in the American dream, but I think Christians in America have become so consumed with the American dream that we're not really that concerned about God's dream for our lives. Lord, have mercy. Sis, will you turn me up in these monitors just a little bit? My voice is messing with me a little bit. Thank you. That's great right there. I don't want to blow you out there, but I want to hear. I don't want to lose my... All right, people always tell me I already sound a lot older than I am. Somebody got a CD, and I went and preached at a place, and they came and met me, and they said, you're the person on the CD? I said, yeah. They said, oh, I thought you were like 63. And I said, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, praise God. So I'm not trying to lose my voice and sound like I'm 87. Help me, somebody. But, you know, God has really been dealing with me about catching his dream. What he desires. So, you know, we hear the verse quoted all the time. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so most people think, well, I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm giving my tithes. I'm trying to live right. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. But we're still consumed with a lot of selfish motives. I should have brought a positive word on the first night of camp meeting, so you want to come back. A lot of us are consumed with impure motives and selfish ambitions, and we're so consumed, again, with the here and now and what we can accumulate. You know, I really think, it breaks my heart, but I think a lot of people in America really do believe he that has the most toys wins. You know what I'm saying? And that's not true in the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. And so I see people running after their own desires, running after their own dreams and their own plans and their own agendas, and then they wonder why they keep running into a brick wall. And they wonder, like, man, it's like stuff isn't coming together like I want it to. It seems like stuff isn't working out the way that I want it to. And you know why that is? Because when we delight ourselves in the Lord, it's not that we're trying to get God on board with what we want to do. When we really delight ourselves in the Lord, what we're saying is, Lord, I'm coming to you and I want your best for my life. Lord, I'm just here to present my body as a living sacrifice. I'm here to yield my members as instruments of righteousness. Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, I want to make myself available to you. And I'm not trying to get you to get on board with what I want to do. Lord, I want to get on board with what you want to do because I want your very, very best. I don't want to settle for second best. I want everything that you have for me. Church, whenever we get on the same page with heaven, whenever we get on the same page with God and we start saying, Lord, I'm not here to try to coax you into doing what I want out of an impure motive or a selfish ambition, but I'm here to lay my life down. I'm here to seek you first, to seek your kingdom first, to seek your righteousness first, and I believe that all this other stuff will be added unto me. I'm what you call an audience participation preacher. Which means the more you say amen and hallelujah, the faster this is going to go. Praise God. I've got a lot of black people in my church. And we, come on in here, we're all about Hammond B3 organs. Help me, somebody. And hallelujah hankies, all right? Come on. So y'all just help a white boy preach tonight, all right? Say amen. I came to have a good time in Kingman. I wouldn't come all the way to Arizona if I couldn't have a good time. Brother Marcellus knows what I'm talking about. Glory to God. I knew he knew what I was talking about when he sang, my God is real this morning. I recorded that, praise God. We'll go back and watch that over and over again. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, this is what I believe is the heartbeat of God in this moment, church, is that if we really want God to open up doors in our lives, we're going to have to get on the same page with heaven. Instead of trying to get God on the page we're on, we need to just go ahead and get on God's page and say, Lord, whatever it is that you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Hello, somebody. Lord, whatever it is that you're doing in this moment, in this hour, and in this season, don't do it without me because I don't want to miss out on the move of your spirit. I don't want to miss out on the next wave of your glory. I don't want to miss out on the fire and the blessing and the favor. The anointing that you're pouring out. Lord, I want to be involved with you. You know, I'll be honest, church. I think a lot of times we get so used to stuff being done our way. I'm talking about even in church services. That God may be doing a new thing and we're just missing it. Because we think he's doing the same old thing that he's always done. Pastor Bruce quoted this morning. People love to say, oh, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yes, he is. Hey. Yes, he is. But I mean, I know we're living in a new time, in a new era. And nobody loves hymns more than I do. And I tell y'all, God dealt with me. He said, Ryan, it's not about your personal preferences as far as style goes. Because, you know, I'm all about a Hammond B3 organ and a choir backing me up. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. It's not all about our personal styles. It's about recognizing what the Holy Spirit's doing and then jumping in the flow of the river. I want you to think about something with me tonight. So many times in our lives, we're praying, Lord, open up a door. Lord, I want a fresh touch. I want a fresh anointing. Come on, this is restoration camp meeting. Lord, I need restoration in my life. I need you to open up a door and make a way where there hasn't been a way. But whenever God starts moving and sending blessings and opening up doors, we miss it because it's not happening the way we thought it was going to happen. Oh, God, don't make me preach, Kingman, Arizona. It's not happening the way we thought it was going to happen. Or it's not working out the way we thought it was going to work out. I want you to think about this. This was really stirred up in my spirit as Pastor Bruce was ministering this morning. And he was talking about the Feast of Sukkot. And I was thinking about, and he made reference to when Jesus entered Jerusalem in Mark chapter 11, the triumphal entry. Amidst the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can I tell you tonight, y'all, you can't worry about public opinion because it's fickle, all right? Let me just slip this punch in, okay? Pastor Bruce said that last night. We were eating dinner at his house, and I said, thank you, Jesus. That's a word from the Lord. He said, I just really can't worry anymore about what people think about me, because if I worried about that, I'd be worried all the time. I thought, ain't that the truth? Come on, same people that were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, on Sunday were the same people crying, crucify him on Friday. Lord, have mercy. I want you to think about this. Jesus is riding through the streets of Jerusalem. This just jumped up in my spirit when he brought that up this morning. People are waving palm branches, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And do you know that there were religious leaders in the temple while Jesus is riding by out their front door? He's passing by. They're in the temple crying, oh God, send the Messiah. Oh God, send the Messiah. Oh God, send the Messiah. Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, God, send the Messiah. Oh, God, send the Messiah. The Messiah's riding by outside your front door, and you're missing it because you're so consumed with God moving in your set idea of how he can move. God only operates like this right here. God only flows like this right here. God only does stuff like this right here. Now listen, church, God is opening up doors tonight. I believe this is the year of the open door, somebody. I said, I believe that this is the year of the open door. God is opening up doors tonight that no man can shut. But the question is, are we going to be so consumed with our own personal preferences, our own personal agendas, and our own personal desires that we're going to miss out on what he's doing? Are we going to say, no, Lord, I see you passing by, and I'm not going to stay wrapped up or bound up in my vain religious traditions. I'm going to get on board with what you're doing. I'm going to let you invade my life. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you invade my life. I'm going to let you possess me with your Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to let you make me a vessel of honor and a channel of your glory. I want to walk through the open door. I want to follow you. I want to follow your voice. I want to follow your leadership. You know, we hear a lot about demon possession in the day and age we live in. And that's why, you know what, that's why it just kills me. You know, I made reference when I was talking about the book that we just wrote, Sacred Fire. There are a lot of churches. I'm talking about churches that used to be spirit-filled, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not just talking about other churches. I don't know anything about them. I'm talking about churches that were once operating in supernatural power. They are programming the Holy Spirit out of their services. And I mean, look, I'm not lying. Pastor Bruce, he even brought it up this morning. There's people who's like, we sing three songs, and they last 3 minutes and 15 seconds each. Look, if I'm lying, I'm dying tonight, all right? And at the end of their little, you know, 9-minute and 45-second worship, somebody jumps up and preaches 15 minutes, and they're all out the door and shouting hoorah, but it's just business as usual. The glory left a long time ago, but business has continued as usual. And so the reason that they say we don't want manifestations of the Holy Ghost in our services anymore is because they say that turns people off. It turns sinners off. And I thought, well, you know, who knocked you upside the head with a stupid stick? Come on, somebody. Because the world is obsessed with the supernatural. I don't know if you realize that or not. That's why Twilight books are the best sellers. And women are dragging their husbands mercilessly to theaters to watch the Twilight series. Vampires and werewolves and all. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Just sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about tonight. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, we'll pray for liars in just a minute. You be the first one down here, all right? Glory to God. No, the world is obsessed. Our society is obsessed with the supernatural. That's why all these psychics have commercials on TV. Think about it, somebody. That's why, I mean, and even popular TV shows now, it's all about witches and demonic stuff. Why? The world is obsessed with supernatural things. So hell has not propagated a lie better than that the Holy Ghost being manifested in a service is going to turn people off. It's not going to turn people off. Weirdness is what turns people off. Help me, somebody. The Holy Ghost is not a weirdo. Now, he does stuff differently, but he's not a weirdo. What the world needs to see are some people operating in the demonstration of that supernatural power. Paul said, my gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came in power. It came in assurance. It came in demonstration. So we hear a lot about demon possession. What about God possession tonight? I said, what about Holy Ghost possession tonight? Because I don't know about you, church, but I say we've tried it our way long enough. Lord, I made a mess of my life so many times I can't even count it. I'm tired of trying to go through life accomplishing in the arm of the flesh what only the Holy Ghost of God can do. I say, Holy Ghost, possess me. Holy Ghost, possess us tonight. Holy Ghost, invade Kingman, Arizona tonight with a demonstration of power. Because, Lord, as you open up the door, we will follow you. Lord, we'll let you take us by the hand and lead us through the open door into the place that you're calling us to be, because we're hungry, we're thirsty, and we want it all. Church, I don't know about you, I want it all tonight. I said, I want it all tonight. I want everything that God has for my life. So if you don't want yours, I'll take yours and mine too, praise God. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not just mouthing off. I believe with all my heart that God is going to open up doors this week. You know what? Let me tell y'all something. Some of you have been believing for unsaved loved ones. Some of you have unsaved family members, unsaved coworkers, unsaved relatives. Man, people that you love. It's even when you're rejoicing and excited in a great service like this. I know for a lot of you, in a service like this, your mind wanders and you think about, you know, what about my cousin so-and-so? What about my brother? I've got relatives that are lost, and we were here tonight. Such an awesome presence in this place. Such an awesome anointing in this place. And I was rejoicing. I was excited. But I couldn't help but think about, I mean, just one after the other, family members in my immediate family that don't know the Lord tonight. And I thought, God, they need this. They need this kind of anointing. They need this kind of blessing. They need this kind of power. You know what I came to tell some of y'all tonight? Some of your unsaved loved ones, friends, family members, coworkers, people that you care about, you've been crying out to God, Lord, save them. I believe with all my heart God's going to do something this week, and they're going to be birthed into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you not what I think, but what I know tonight. God is getting ready to open up a door for some of our unsaved loved ones to be birthed into the kingdom of God. I believe some of them are going to get saved this week. I said, I believe some of them are going to get saved this week. Some of them will get saved after this camp meeting's over, but it's going to be because something shifts in the realm of the spirit.
that they show up just down the road. I was preaching somewhere 2 months ago, and I started talking. I was talking about open doors, not this message, but I was ministering about open doors. And the Holy Spirit said, I want to save unsaved loved ones, people in this church. And I said, well, all right, Lord, I can believe that. He said, no, he said, I want you to tell them. He said, I want people to come that have down and out, dirty, nasty sinner loved ones that nobody thinks is going to get saved. And so we had a handful of people come forward. We prayed a simple prayer of faith together. 2 weeks later, I was preaching in some other state. I got a text message from the associate pastor of the church. He was one of the first ones in the altar that night, tears just streaming down his face, his hands up there. He was believing God. He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. He said, when we prayed 2 weeks ago, he said, I called out two names. He said, one was my sister and one was my niece. He said, would you believe? He said that this morning in our Sunday morning service, he said, out of nowhere, he said, service was already going on. He said, they came walking through the back door. He said, they got radically saved at the altar, cried out to God. My Lord, somebody. What are you saying? If you can believe, I said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And I don't know who this is for, but this is for somebody tonight. You've got some unsaved loved ones, some unsaved family members that everybody else in your family that knows the Lord has given up on. I know I'm not the only one, praise God. So, Pastor, there's one in every family. Well, how come there's 38 of them in mine? Come on, somebody. You think I'm kidding? Lord Jesus. Jesus. You know what? I really believe tonight that if you'll refuse to give up hope on them, God is going to draw them by his Spirit. You know what the word says? How can anyone come except the Spirit draws them? You know what I'm believing for in this restoration camp meeting? That all week long, God is going to draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, from near and from far. God is going to draw people by the power of his Spirit into this house to be radically saved, healed, and delivered. I'm telling you, marriages are going to get put back together this week. Oh, Jesus. Somebody's bank account is going to get healed this week in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Listen to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. God knows. I'm closing right now. Come on. Blessed are the short-winded. They'll be asked back again. Here's the wrap-up button, okay? There's not 30 doors on this message. Come on, somebody. We're closing one time. Glory to God. I was down at a little country church one time. I took about five of the black ladies from my church with me, and we walked in, and it was dead. Bless you. God bless. It was just, I mean, it was like deader than a doornail in there. And we got there late, you know what I'm saying, fashionably late, praise God. We slipped in the back, and this guy, man, bless his heart, he was up there. He was huffing and puffing and preaching the house down and loosened his tie and sweat and threw his coat off. And, I mean, you could hear crickets in the back of the church. People was just looking at him. Kind of like some of you were looking at me tonight. No, come on, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. And we got in there, black sisters from my church, they started rocking and rolling and shouting. And like I said, the hankies came out, you know what I mean? So this guy went for a little while. He got excited because he had some help, you know what I mean? So he said, I'm closing, I'm closing, I'm closing. But like 10 minutes later, he was still closing, you know, like. So he's like, I'm closing, I'm closing, I'm closing. Look, I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. 10 minutes later, he's still closing. Well, like 30 minutes into this closing, I just looked down the pew and I said, I wish y'all would just shut up or he's going to preach all night long. You know what I'm saying? They said, all right, Pastor, come on. They put the hankies away. We calmed down. He wrapped it up. Praise God. This is first and last closing right here. You know, I believe that Jesus is saying to us tonight, what he was saying to the church at Philadelphia. That's who he was addressing in Revelation 3. I know your works. He said, you have a little strength. Come on, a little strength is better than no strength. Help me, somebody. But what that's referring to there when it says you have a little strength, what he was really talking about was they weren't large. They didn't have, you know, all these members. He said, you just got like a smaller thing going on. And he said, and yet you're so powerful because you've kept my word. And you have not denied my name. Therefore, I'm opening a door and making a way for you. A door that no one